I'm not a stoic until I read that line. Oh, actually, maybe I do agree with that.
I'm stoic-y.
Stoic-y, that's perfect.
I have stoicism.
I have a stoicism in my eye.
Yeah, I've seen the doctor about my stoicism.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, all right. Well, thank you for checking in to today's episode. Today's episode with Jeff Bogue.
My voice can go this low because my allergies are acting up.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Other than that, it's kind of whiny usually.
If we recorded this in the morning, like,
oh, yeah.
I can get my voice pretty deep anyway, but yeah. Sometimes in the morning, I mean, it can get real low, real fast. And it resonates more in the morning, too.
Same bass.
Uh-huh. You know, it's funny because have you ever seen, I had this on my phone for about 5 minutes. I'm like, this is dumb, and deleted it. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen these apps where you can like sing into your phone and it'll coach you in singing?
Vaguely, okay, yeah. Well,
I'm sure every app for everything exists today, but there's apps that do that. And I was just curious because I used to sing all the time. When I sang, I was always put in like 10 or 2 range usually, yeah. Sometimes even 10 or 1. And as I'm singing into this app, it's like, well, you have a bass voice. And I'm like, well, one of us was wrong.
Yeah, my eighth grade choir teacher or me. You know, I used to sing. So I went through college on a drama scholarship. So I did a lot of musicals and things like that. And I sang a lot in ensembles and stuff. And then there was a stint there that I was the worship leader at Grace Church down at the Norton campus. We were in between people, and I was the guy. Now, we used the hymn book back then.
Sure.
But I was the guy that would get up and lead the hymns, and I picked them and led them and
That's a thing that you and I kind of have in common.
Yeah, you did a lot. But it's interesting. I feel like because I don't sing, I sing, but like predominantly or purposely more, like that part of my voice has gotten weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't do what I used to do. I don't know if talking affects it, if it's a different strength thing.
It's age. Because
I can talk for hours and hours, but like your voice is almost in shape.
Yeah, sure.
To do that.
Yep.
But I don't, I can still sing, but mostly it's private.
Yeah. Between you and the Lord. That's why you sit in the front row all the time.
There was years ago, I think you were here when, Tammy was working for us. Treen is her married name. So I'm calling you out right now, Tammy Treen. But they left my mic on during a Christmas program.
Oh, no.
And so what's that song? It's like, fall on your knees.
Oh, Holy Night.
Oh, Holy Night. So they're singing that, but it's like Ezra and the band, and they're like going nuts on it. Well, I'm singing along, but I can't hit the notes. And plus, I'd spoken a bunch of times. Well, they left my mic on. So Tammy Treen got the recording, burned it on CDs, and gave it to the staff for Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. I was not here for that. And boy, do I wish I was.
Oh, Heidi thought that was the funniest thing that had ever happened. Oh,
that's amazing.
So I'm still bitter about it. Because my voice is cracking, and I'm not
hitting on it. Oh, sure, yeah.
It was funny.
Oh, that's such a good song, too. That's a good one.
It is a good song, and you should not listen to me ruin it for you.
Well, speaking of so many voices, there's a lot of them out there.
Joe, well played.
News, social
well
media.
Well played.
Last week you gave me a hard time about it.
Jason just gave you a round of applause for that.
I did get that. That's awesome.
Bob,
speaking of
Bob
round of applause.
Ball would be proud.
Going full circle, which is a round of applause. So it's tough to know how to think or how to make decisions, and we just want to help you sort through that noise and think through things in a way that allows you to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way to Jesus. Let's get into it. Jeff, today's question, in some ways, is that exact intro. Like, there's a lot of philosophies out there, ways to think that you need to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we fight our way through some of those things that might sound like good advice or good ideas and find the heart of Christ? So I'm going to read the submitted question, but then... I mean this as a compliment to our listener, and then we're going to dumb it down a little bit for the rest of our listeners, because I don't think everybody thinks about this up front. But our listener says this, I've encountered many implicit appeals to Stoic practices in recent years. Nowadays, I'm seeing explicit support for Stoicism in abundance. How should Christians approach this Stoic, quote-unquote, revival? And where are Christianity and Stoicism aligned and at odds? And so what we're basically getting at here is this idea of Stoicism, which I'll let you define here in a moment. And when we hear principles that come out of something like Stoicism, is it just good advice because it sounds good? How does that align with Jesus? And then in particular, if someone's teaching this kind of life philosophy, mm-hmm. where does that align with the heart of Jesus, or where does Jesus kind of pull us away from it?
Yeah. Yeah, when I read that question, I was like, man, somebody's been doing some deep thinking and has studied philosophy, so they know what they are talking about a little bit. So it's a great question, and I think our listener is correct in that Stoic philosophy is catching hold today. I think there's some reasons why it's catching hold, but it's actually nothing new. The Apostle Paul addressed it and pushed against it back in the New Testament. And Stoicism in Christianity can be confused. So Stoicism is an ancient Greek philosophy. Mm-hmm. And it's an ancient Greek philosophy which would say that as I approach life and I think through life, I should have a human wisdom. I should be fair, loving, kind of in a logical way. I should be self-controlled, and I should, in particularly, self-control my emotions. Mm-hmm. So modern Stoicism, the big echoes of it would be in the age of reasoning. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's use logic. Let's use tangible science. We don't need faith. We have reason. We have our mind. And let's draw all wisdom from there. So what does our study of nature tell us about how to build a bridge, mm-hmm. as opposed to other things? So it shows up in the age of reason or enlightenment in those senses. It shows up in modernistic thinkings where I would be like, Stoics basically believe you are your body and your mind, and your spirit should not control you, mm. and emotions are reflections of the spirit. So, and we could go on and on and on, right? So like, but if you think about a major extreme would be like Spock.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
Where it's all reason, all logic, all science. And then you would compare that to like Captain Kirk, mm-hmm. who went with his gut and operated on it. And in a pop culture way, you might look at those two things. So when the listener here says Stoicism is making a resurgence, he's right in that. What you're seeing today is you are seeing a secularism and a moral ism, mm-hmm. that is kind of based in the foundation of the goodness and the intelligence of humanity. And whenever you would hear about humanity at its finest or the potential of mankind, mm-hmm. When you would see modern pictures of like in the future, we all get along and we all live in a harmony, and war is seen as foolish, and love boils down to good genetics. You know, you're seeing like that idea play out because it's smart, it's reasonable, it's all the rest. The reason I think that is taking hold today is because there is a backlash to being a completely emotionally driven culture. Mm. And that emotionally driven culture in which my emotions are truth, my opinion is truth, and my individuality is king has led us to a humanistic emptiness. And so we would look and say, if you feel like you're a llama, you are then a llama. And we should put a llama pin up at the high school, mm-hmm. and you should take math in that, right? if you feel like you have heard from God, and there's no reason or thought or logic, but God told you that the rapture was going to happen. There's a big cult movement that just was disproven because he missed his dates 3 times in a row. So the rapture is going to happen. So that whole feeling, like my feelings are truth, my identity is subjective. Mm-hmm. I'm going to manifest things into existence without, I'm going to manifest myself to be an NBA player. It's a reaction to that where people are like looking and saying, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like it's just ridiculous that you feel something you think is true, or you can manifest yourself into something that will never be a reality. So you're seeing this return to it. And what's very appealing is it feels like common sense and it feels like normality. Mm. And because we kind of went off a cliff and now there's a reaction to that, it also shows up in the church. And it will show up as like, just teach the Bible. Just tell me what God says. Just use common sense. The Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth. And so we'll bring that to relationships. And I remember growing up in the 80s, way, way back in the 1980s, I remember listening to people from the 50s. Mm-hmm. So they were like missionaries in the 1950s. They would talk about, I married my wife because she knew the Bible well, and I thought she would be a helpful partner on the mission field. Mm-hmm. It was very logical, very, well, the Lord called me. And there was a total removal of like emotion for mm-hmm. loving someone. In the 2000s in the Christian world, that would have swung the other direction, where it's like, I feel like God told me that I was supposed to marry you. What's your name? You know, kind of a thing. And so it's gone the other way. So it shows up in the church, it shows up in culture, and it is that high logic, high information. High self-discipline is a big part of it, high earthly wisdom, and that is going to be what I define as truth and I move forward with.
Yeah, what I think is fascinating is, like you said, some of this sounds like common sense. My guess is some of our listeners are like, I'm waiting for this to sound like it's against what God might want.
That's right.
And to our submitter's point, it's like, right, I'm seeing this rise to the point where people are like ascribing themselves fully to this Stoic mindset. Where does this begin to diverge from the teachings of Jesus? Because again, so much of this kind of sounds like, well, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense, especially in the chaotic mm-hmm. nonsense we've kind of lived through sure. recently. And it makes sense logically. So if you're a thinker, not a feeler, mm-hmm. It's definitely going to make sense that way. And things like be self-controlled, mm-hmm. Things like take responsibility, things like take every thought captive and use your mind, they do sound like teachings of Jesus. And what I would say is that in some ways they are. So you will see thoughts like this throughout the scripture. And if you wanted to isolate a verse or two and try to prove a Stoic philosophy correct, mm-hmm. You could do that if you manipulated scripture. You know, so when Paul says, I beat my body and I make it my slave, mm-hmm. a Stoic philosopher would be like, right. Like, you don't give in to cravings. You're not sexually wild. You don't, you know, pain is in the mind. You know, that's all Stoic philosophy. And we would look and say, right, that sounds like that would make a good Marine, or that would make a good self-controlled person. In a fruit of the Spirit, self-control.
Right, yep.
So there is a temptation to look and say, well, that is what the Bible says, and that's what the Bible means, and I can get a verse that does that. Now, here's a problem with using the Bible that way. I can get a verse that does the other part.
Sure.
So when the, if I got a verse that said, be all things to all men, mm-hmm. well, now I'm totally living outside. What if that other person is living a life that's displeasing to God? I could pull a verse that says that we are to walk in the Spirit. So what if I decided that was the Spirit leads me and tells me things it never tells you? So what you're talking about is you're talking about the way this is presented in extremes. Mm-hmm. So if you said to me, Jeff, is all Stoic philosophy wrong? I would look at you and say, no, the parts of it that agree with Jesus are good, like they're normal. Are all non-Stoic philosophies wrong? I'd be like, no, because you can be a wishy-washy Christian. Mm-hmm. What I would say to you is we're not talking about non-Stoic thinking or Stoic thinking. We're talking about what the Scripture says. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the Scripture, you have to look at the Scripture as a whole. This is a big thing at Grace Church, and it's a, I don't know if it's a little pet peeve of mine. I don't think it's a pet peeve. I think it's like a warning. Mm. Because what our culture does is we will take the Scripture and we will weaponize it for whatever we want it to mean. Well, the best example of this is the verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Mm-hmm. And what we mean by that is I can press through, I can meet my goals, I can hit my deadlift, I can make my financial goals. That verse is about contentment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can be content whether I have a lot or I have a little because Christ will give me strength to be content. It is not about personal achievement.
No, not at all.
So we do that all the time. So if you want to go to the Bible and say, the Bible's full of Stoic philosophy, I'm like, you could make an argument if you misuse the Bible. Or if you want to go to the Bible and say, the Bible's all about walking in the Spirit, just being led every day, I'm like, yeah, you can make that argument if you misread the Bible. If you look at the Bible as a whole, or what the Bible calls the full counsel of God, what you'll find is the true teachings of Jesus. And when you look at the true teachings of Jesus, you will see that Stoicism is at odds with the teaching of Jesus in its core.
Wow.
Therefore, if you accept it at its core, it's going to take you in a place that takes you very, very far away. So for instance, Stoicism replaces the grace of God with self-sufficiency. Hmm. So I master myself. I have logic, so I master my mind, therefore my thoughts are pure and right. Mm-hmm. Now you forgot about the verse where God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways.
Yep.
I discipline my body and I make it my slave. Well, you forgot about the verse that says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's a tent that's put away so that what is life, what is mortal is swallowed up by life. Mm. So you've overplayed the Stoic hand. So what Stoicism does is says, I can elevate myself, I can purify myself, and I can redeem my life. What Jesus says is, you cannot elevate high enough, you cannot purify completely enough, and you cannot redeem. Mm-hmm. I have to do all that for you.
Yeah.
And my grace is sufficient for that. The Stoicism is going to do things like it's going to say, let's think about peace instead of dependence. So in other words, Stoicism is going to say that peace is found by detaching from desire and emotion. Mm-hmm. So I'm Spock. The gospel is going to say peace is found by attaching to Jesus. Hmm. So the Stoic philosophy is going to say, if I can achieve a total peace, an inner peace, a complete peace, by becoming completely dependent on my thoughts and my desires, and I'm defining all those things, I can be the best version of me, Jesus is going to say, no, the best version of you is the version of you that dies to yourself, and you build a home completely in me. And we can go on and on and on. Like, I just wrote a list, like, stoicism makes virtue the goal of my life instead of worship the goal of my life. Stoicism creates an illusion of control instead of a certainty of surrender. Hmm. So I was such a good person who lived so far above the fray, I can go to heaven, as opposed to I was such a broken person who needed a savior, I rest in God's grace.
Yeah.
It's those kind of things where suddenly it's no longer a small principle or a small statement of self-discipline. It is actually its own gospel that leads to my own salvation that I'm achieving for myself.
What I find, the phrase that's kind of a cliche that keeps coming back to my mind, and maybe, Jeff, this will be helpful as almost a summary statement, is that, like, all truth is God's truth, but it's not reversed.
That's right.
You know, and so, like, the things that we find to be true are not true because they're true. They're true because that's how God instituted them. And then the reverse, like, just because, like, yes, God is truth, that doesn't mean you'll never find anything ever in any outside source that isn't true. And so I think that that's part of what we're learning here is, like, if there was a Venn diagram of where Jesus is calling us and then Stoic principles, there's going to be an overlap here or there. It might be thin, but some of it aligns. But the whole of what Jesus is teaching, the core, as you mentioned, of what Jesus is teaching diverges from the Stoic principles.
Yeah, you'll have thinkers and philosophers, and sometimes critics will go into the scripture and they'll say, this part of the book of Proverbs was an ancient Hebrew proverb before the book of Proverbs was written. I'm like, right, because there's truth in it, and then it's God's truth, and the writer of Proverbs put it in God's book. And the same thing was this, the Apostle Paul quotes a Stoic philosopher here. I'm like, right. If I was writing the Bible today, mm-hmm. and I said, there is a law of gravity where if you're under an apple tree, an apple will fall and bonk you on the head. I'm telling you the truth and God's truth. If you said, well, Isaac Newton said that, I'm like, right. Mm-hmm. That's how that be. 2 + 2 = 4. You know, so the scripture, especially in the part of the scripture that's poetic or biographical, the scripture will quote these things. Paul is often talking to people in real time. So he's talking to people who live in Rome or people who live in Athens. So he would often draw from their own philosophers, and he would say, listen, your philosopher says this, and that's right, or your philosopher says this, and that's wrong. It's no different than us being illustrative.
You just did it with Star Trek characters.
I just did it with Star Trek characters, yep. Right. Right? That doesn't make all Star Trek true.
No.
That makes everything God does to say true. So you will find, like, this idea of, like, take responsibility for yourself mm-hmm. is a biblical idea. The way we would say it, it's a biblical idea that Stoics embrace. Mm-hmm. It's not a Stoic idea that the Bible copied.
Right.
I say all the time, your emotions lie. Mm-hmm. Don't let them rule. Well, I'm not a Stoic. What I'm saying is, no, there is a truth, and it's God's truth, and it overrides your opinions and how you feel at that mm-hmm. moment.
Yep.
Right? So this is where when we hear these things, I think especially with kind of the way this is resurging today, it's almost refreshing. Mm-hmm. When someone's like, listen, just own your crap and get over it. You're like, oh, I've been thinking about saying that to somebody. Well, a Stoic would say that. Or a Stoic would say, that's completely illogical. It can't be that way. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it is completely illogical, and it cannot be that way.
Yep.
Right? But you don't go and then say, now I am a follower of Stoicism. You would go back in the scripture, because what the scripture always does is the scripture always balances us, because what the scripture is doing is giving us a complete picture of God. Mm-hmm. So I am to walk in the Spirit, and I am to be led by the Spirit. That's an emotional interaction. Mm-hmm. And I seek wise counsel, and I anchor myself to the Word of God. That's a logical interaction.
Yeah.
And it's the two of those things mm-hmm. that put me on the path that I want to go down. Worship is a great example of this. Worship, I worship in spirit and truth.
Yep, yep.
So worship is emotional. It's fine. Yep. I feel emotional sometimes worshiping.
Yep.
But what I am saying, what I am singing has to be true. So I can't worship myself or all the craziness of people taking over churches. They're like, now God is a woman and blah, blah, blah. I mean, no, that's false worship. Mm-hmm. But I can feel an affection and a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So it's not following Stoicism. It's not that they're not going to be like, and the devil is God. Stoicism's not going to say that. But if you give yourself fully to it, it will take you away from a dependency of God, and it removes you from recognizing the necessity for a Savior in your life. You'll start to believe that you are that Savior, mm-hmm. and that you are dependent on yourself alone.
That's really, really, really good.
I give you a good example of this, mm-hmm. Joe, a good statement. And I say this a lot at church. A great Stoic statement would be, I am a self-made man. Mm. And that's a very traditional American statement.
Sure.
I'm a self-made man. That is a statement of respect, especially among men. You're a self-made man, mm-hmm. okay? Now, here's the problem. It's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not true. You are a God-made man. Mm-hmm. So I did not choose to be born in North America. I did not choose to be born to my parents. I did not choose to be born without birth defects. I did not choose to be born with a affective mind as opposed to someone who struggles with a deep mental illness. I did not choose to have the advantages or the disadvantages that I have in life. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a self-made man. I'm a God-made man. Mm-hmm. Now, if we want to nuance that conversation in a godly way, we can. We can look and say, I have tried to take what God has given me and do my best. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a self-made man, everything I have is mine. If I'm a God-made man, everything I have is God's. Mm-hmm. I work to be responsible and support my family. If I'm a self-made man, that's a responsibility. If I'm a God-made man, that's an act of worship. Mm-hmm. See how it changes? And like that, like self-made man, it's like that can be a really good thing if you know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But if you believe that, then you do not need God. You are the source of your own goodness, and you have created every advantage in your life. That is not true. And we'll look at, then what happens is societally, we'll look and say, well, if those people in the inner city would just get their act together. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. You weren't born there. Mm-hmm. Well, this person was. Yeah, but they're a pro athlete. Mm-hmm. Or, well, this person fought their way out. Not when you go back and look at their relationships and connections. So it raises, instead of looking and saying, I'm going to yell at you to get your act together, I'm going to look and say, well, I'm a God-made man. Part of the way that God made me and part of the reason he's blessed me is so that I can help to elevate these other people. Mm-hmm. See, it totally changes the outcome.
Yep.
And one is rooted in Stoicism, and one is rooted in Christ, and there are overlap, like, Jesus wants you to be responsible. He wants you to work hard. You know, the parable of the talents, mm-hmm. I do with what God's given me. But it takes me to a different belief system, and it takes me to a different behavioral system because of what I have rooted it in.
I think this is one of the reasons why the great commandments are what they are. If you don't love and understand your dependence on God and love and understand your dependence on other people, you're missing the whole boat. I love what you're saying about the self-made man stuff. In high school, I tried to get good grades. I was trying to get into college and stuff. At one point in time in a history class, I think I had a 92.7, which in our grading scale is a B+, because an A is a 93. And or I had like a 92.2 or something like that. And I went to the history professor. I'm like, hey, it's really important to me that I get an A in this class just based on it's toward the end of my high school. I need this GPA. He says, well, if you ace your final exam, you'll have a 92.7 in my class. I'm like, is there anything you can do? He says, if you ace the exam, I will give you an A. Now, if I want to take the self-man approach, well, I went and had the conversation with the teacher. I did end up acing that exam. See, self-made man. No, I was completely dependent upon him basically fudging the rules. And so we can look back and go, see, Joe got an A in his history class. I'm like, the teacher gave me an A, gave an A.
And you look back on that with gratitude.
Absolutely.
And you did the work, because if you were like, how about you give me an A, buddy? That mm-hmm. teacher would have probably flunked you. So you did take responsibility, mm-hmm. but someone was merciful, mm-hmm. and God gave you a mind that you can get an A. Mm-hmm. There's lots of people, they can work harder than you, and they're 100%. Not going to get an A.
Yep.
Stoicism doesn't recognize that in mm-hmm. the same way as Christianity does. And it can look the same. Like, mm-hmm. I believe strongly in a Christian work ethic. Yeah. Everything I do is unto the Lord. So I have a work ethic. Mm-hmm. I believe strongly that you should do the best you can do. Like, if you are capable of making $100 million ethically, you should make it. Mm-hmm. The issue is not that you can make it. The issue is, whose is it?
Yeah.
Because if I can make $100 million and live on 10, you know, scrape by on 10, mm-hmm. and then invest $90 million into the kingdom, and we plant churches and we help the poor, see, that's powerful. If I make $100 million, I'm like, now I got the yacht and I got the blah, blah, blah. So that's the difference. Now, there's a whole nother ism that mm-hmm. would come in that would say, it's ridiculous somebody make $100 million. I'm like, No. That's the making is not the issue. Who you believe owns it is the issue. Mm-hmm. Because what you're saying in communism and socialism is that $100 million should belong to me. Mm-hmm. A Stoic would say that $100 million belongs to me, and a Christian would say that $100 million belongs to God. Mm-hmm. It's very different things.
And another reason why Stoicism falls short of the whole picture is because what about the person that can make $100 million and then God calls that person to the mission field?
Right.
You know, and you're like, well—
waste of potential.
Exactly.
Yeah, waste of potential. Like, no. Some of the most brilliant minds mm-hmm. in the history of the world, how do you translate the Bible into another language?
Mm-hmm. Into a language that doesn't yet have a written language.
Right. I mean, it's brilliant. And they mm-hmm. could have made it in the marketplace. So those are like the key differences. I had a summary thing here, and I said it this way. Stoicism says, be strong and you'll survive. Jesus says, surrender and I'll make you new. Mm. And it's just those paths. And there's places where Christianity reflects communism.
Sure.
It doesn't mean communism is remotely right.
Yep.
And there's places where Christianity is reflected in Stoicism. Same thing. You're looking for the truth in the gospel, and mm-hmm. I'm responding to Jesus. I'm not responding to your ism.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why it's catching and you have a lot of moral podcasters and moral writers right now is because we blew out our moral foundation so heavily that it causes chaos and it causes the inability to move at all. Stoic humanistic thinking puts in a moral foundation that can be positive and it can be negative. It is not a gospel foundation.
Right.
And the Christ follower needs to always delineate between those two things.
Well, I personally find this very helpful because I'm realizing there's at least a couple areas in my life I might lean into that because of how pervasive some, like even that last thing you said, just be strong and you'll survive. I mean, there's so many cliches out there, the self-made man, the strong, independent woman. I mean, this is, this is kind of like Instagram to the T. I mean, just go prove yourself and life will turn out the way it's going to go. So I hope this is not only helpful for our very deep thinking, and I actually know this person. I know he's always trying to connect with people and help people. Thank you for submitting that question. But I hope that surprisingly, maybe you didn't know you had questions about Stoicism, that this was helpful for you too. If you have questions you'd like us to tackle, head on over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. We'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you, so don't be a stranger when you run into us. And if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace on the weekend as we continue to run after Jesus and what he's calling us to, whether it's in person or you begin to check us out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.